Thank you for tuning into the weekly sermon from Journey of Hope, a United Methodist community. We are a welcoming community that fosters belonging and acceptance. Through ministries, we enable individuals to transform their lives as they learn to follow Jesus Christ. We follow the guidance of the Spirit in sharing our faith through missional adventures, building relationships, and offering our witness to our community and world. We serve the Elgin, Illinois area and are located at the corner of Randall Road and Highland. To learn more about us, you can check us out at johumc.org or any of our social media platforms by searching Journey of Hope. And now, here is this week's message.
God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." It's from the 118th Psalm. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He becomes my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand does mighty things. I will not die but live, and will acclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. He will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks for your you answered me. You have been my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in his eyes. The Lord has done this, done it this very day. Let us rejoice and be glad. You are my God, and I will give thanks. You are my God, I will lift you up high. Give thanks to the Lord because he is good, because his faithfulness lasts forever." May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of his word.
So this morning, we have things that are a little different. We do celebrate Palm Sunday. And so this might be a little different for you this morning, but I encourage you to fully engulf yourself in this experience. Because today we're going to take a journey, maybe unlike the journey we have taken before. Today I want to help you journey through this passion narrative, through this incredible story, this story which marks the beginning of the week that changed the world. We began this service with celebrations and shouts of joy. Hosanna, loud Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But the shouts of joy don't last for too long. Celebrations are shortly lived as the anticipation of a coronation quickly turns to the destruction of all that the people had hoped for. At least, that's what they thought. And so let's begin. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we come to hear your story again. And God, these are your words. This is the passion narrative. This is the story of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, God, I ask that we would hear it with new ears this morning, that we would truly find ourselves in the middle of this experience, in the middle of the story. So open our hearts, open up our minds, open up our souls to truly hear you speak this morning. All of this I ask in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them,
I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with each of you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God.
After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said,
Take this, divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.
And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying,
This is my body. It's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying,
This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him.
They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. Jesus said to them,
The kings and the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest of you, the greatest among you, should be like the youngest, the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom. Just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers.
But he replied,
Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death.
Jesus answered,
I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times that you know me.
Then Jesus asked them,
When I sent you with a purse or without a purse or a bag or sandals, did you lack anything?
Nothing, they answered. He said to them,
But now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, And he was numbered with the transgressors, and I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment.
The disciples said,
See, Lord, we have two swords. That's enough,
he replied. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them,
Pray that you will not fall into temptation.
He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed.
Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done.
An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow.
Why? Why are you sleeping?
He asked them.
Get up, so that you will not fall in temptation. Pray.
While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him,
Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?
When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said,
Lord, should we strike with a sword?
And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered,
No more of this.
And he touched the man's ear and healed it. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who came for him,
Am I leading a rebellion? That you have come to me with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour, when darkness reigns.
Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, This man was with him. But he denied it.
Woman, I don't know him,
he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, You also are one of them.
Man, I am not,
Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, Certainly this fellow was with them, for he is a Galilean. Peter replied,
Man, I don't know what you are talking about.
Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord spoke at the word the Lord had spoken to him.
Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times.
And he went outside and wept bitterly. The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded,
Prophesy! Who hit you?
And they said many other insulting things to him. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them.
If you are the Messiah, tell us.
Jesus answered,
If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God.
They all asked,
Are you then the Son of God?
He replied,
You say that I am.
Then they said,
Why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips.
Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying,
We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king.
So Pilate asked Jesus,
Are you the king of the Jews?
Jesus replied, Then Pilate,
You have said so.
Then Pilate announced to the chief priest and the crowd,
I find no basis for a charge against this man.
But they insisted.
He stirs up all the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here.
On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he went to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at the time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about Jesus, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. He plied with him many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teacher of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them,
"You brought me this man as one who is inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence, and I have found no basis for your charges against him, and neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him, and then I will release him."
But the whole crowd shouted,
"Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!"
Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting,
"Crucify him! Crucify him!"
For the third time, he spoke to them.
"Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished, and then I will release him."
But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will.
The middle of this story, we know of another participant in the story from another gospel, a man that you might know, Simon of Cyrene. And so I encourage you to hear more of the story through Simon's eyes. Walking on the road to Jerusalem, the time had come to sacrifice again. My two small sons, they walk beside me down the road. The reason that they came was to watch the lamb. And they say, "Daddy, Daddy, what will we see there? There's so much that we don't understand." So I told them of Moses, Father Abraham. Then I said, "Dear children, watch the lamb. There will be so many in Jerusalem today. And we must be sure this little lamb doesn't run away." So I told them of Moses, Father Abraham. And I said, "Dear children, watch the lamb. When we reach the city, I knew something must be wrong. There were no joyful worshipers there, no joyful worship songs. I stood there with my children in the midst of angry men. And I heard a crowd cry out, "Let's crucify him." We tried to leave the city. We could not get away. Forced to play in this drama, a part I did not want to play. Why upon this day were men condemned to die? Why were we standing right here? Soon they would pass by. I looked and said, "Even now they come." The first one cried for mercy.
Mercy.
People gave him none. The second one was violent. He was arrogant and loud. I still can hear his angry voice screaming the crowd. And someone said, "There's Jesus." I scarce believe my eyes. Man so badly beaten, he barely looked alive. Blood poured from his body, the thorns on his brow, running down the cross, falling to the ground. I watched him as he struggled, and I watched him when he fell. Cross came down upon his back. The crowd began to yell. In that moment, I felt such agony. In that moment, I felt such loss. Till a Roman soldier grabbed my arm and screamed, "You carry his cross." I tried to resist him, but his hand reached for his sword. And so I knelt and I took the cross from the Lord. I put it on my shoulder, started down the street. The blood that he'd been shedding was running down my cheek. Led us to Golgotha. They drove nails deep in his feet and hands. Upon the cross I heard him pray, "Father, forgive them." Never seen such love in any other eyes. To thy hands I commit my spirit. Prayed, then he died. Stood for what seemed like years. Lost all sense of time. Till I felt two tiny hands holding on to mine. My children stood there weeping. And I heard the oldest say, "Father, please forgive us." The lamb ran away. Daddy, Daddy, what have we seen here? There's so much that we don't understand. So I took them in my arms. We turned and faced the cross. And I said, dear children, watch the Lamb.
Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said,
Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.
And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said,
He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one.
The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him with wine vinegar and said,
If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself.
There was a written notice above him which read, This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him.
Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us.
But the other criminal rebuked him.
Don't you fear God?
He said.
Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man did nothing wrong.
Then he said,
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Jesus answered him,
Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.
It was now about noon. The darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice,
Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.
When he had said this, he breathed his last. Then the centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said,
Surely this was a righteous man.
When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things.
An incredible story. A beautiful story for us. We travel this journey of Lent, and as we are so close to Easter, we've done a lot of self-reflection. And so this morning, I want to give you an opportunity. Each of you have a piece of red cloth. And I invite you to take that and hold on to that right now, because Janice, in just a moment, is going to share a quiet reflection piece for us. And during that time, what I would like you to do is just think of all of the things that you have reflected on over this season of Lent, things that you need forgiveness for, people that you need to forgive, pains that are in your heart that you want to let go. I want you to put all of your focus into that red piece of fabric. And then following the reflection song, I'm going to invite you to do something maybe new for some of you, something meaningful. And so I encourage you to just reflect on that piece of fabric here for just a few moments. As we think of the many parts of our lives that we have put into this piece of fabric, there's one thing that this season of Lent and the story of Jesus' passion tells each and every one of us. And that is that Jesus takes all of these things and he's basically redeemed all of it. We are forgiven. We're given this new life. And so it's offering this stuff to Jesus. And so I'm going to invite you, as you feel led, to come forward. There is a station just prior to the second table of hand sanitizer. So I encourage you to do that, to come forward to the cross. Because that's where Jesus meets us. I'm going to invite you to take a nail and a hammer. To nail all of it to the cross. And to give it up to Jesus today. But I encourage you, as you feel led, to come forward. Bring your things to the cross and leave them here. There are many at home watching online, and so we nail strips for them as well, especially as we name Lori and Jeff as they continue their battle with cancer. But this is for all of those as they watch, as they celebrate from a distance. We've all come and nailed bits and pieces of our lives to this cross or laid them at the feet of Jesus. And sometimes we think this is the difficult part of offering up these bits and pieces of ourselves. But I think the hardest part is to leave it here. And so now that you've brought these hurts, these pains, these places in your life that you no longer want, and you've given them up to Jesus, leave them here. Don't pick them up and take them back with you. Because Jesus offers that forgiveness. He offers the reconciliation, the redemption, all right here through the power of the cross.
My soul, my life, my all.
Will you pray with me? God, we have brought all of these things to the cross, giving them up to you, longing to receive that new life of the forgiveness or the reconciliation. And so God, speak those into our hearts this morning. And God, we lift up so many joys and concerns, those that have been shared with us, a joy of just what this day means, this Palm Sunday, as we lead into Holy Week. I'm thankful for a good report for Andy's dad. God, we pray for safe travel for so many that are either returning or heading out somewhere else. And God, we pray for open hearts to see all of your children. And show us how we can serve you with an understanding and a love for all. And God, we lift up so many that are still trying to locate a vaccine. And for all of those struggling physically, emotionally, mentally with this pandemic. God, hear all of our prayers this morning as we lift them to you. Especially as we pray that prayer that Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I hope that as we've traveled this service from the joyous celebrations of Palm Sunday, of welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem and waving our palms, that we then travel through Holy Week. that we can go reminding ourselves of all that happens throughout this week. That we would join together Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, and then certainly a celebration Easter Sunday. And so carry your palms as a reminder of what this day means. Go forth knowing that you can leave all of this stuff behind, that you don't have to take it with you, and that God will redeem it. But most of all, go knowing that the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit goes with you. And it goes with you always. Amen.